So you go, you don't get attached to it. That means what do you do with the results?
Work,
you do something.
Expecting results.
Hmm. And we do get results, right? So what's the, we all work, so we get some results. So what do we do with that? How do we dovetail, fit that?
Yes,
how do we fit into this line, particular?
If you
dedicated
work,
resources to Krishna do the work and keep Krishna as the center.
So it's not that, you know, we don't, if we get some results for sure, it's not that, you know, we ignore and, you know, we don't care about it. So we, everything we dovetail towards Krishna consciousness. So we get money, you use it money for bringing your family in Krishna consciousness, or we donate it to temple, you know, to for the, otherwise temple is based on the donations. So that's how it runs. And never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. So what does that sentence mean?
We should not think that because of us we were able to do something.
So what else is involved? Any action, what else is involved?
The Lord has to function in the rupa, in the form of, He is the one who is moving us, He is the power behind us. So that's why He is saying, never consider yourself.
So what are five factors? What are the five factors? Any action to take place?
The body.
The body.
The performer.
That's the spirit soul.
The senses.
The senses.
The different kinds of behavior, of endeavor.
The endeavor.
The effort. And ultimately the
and
super
ultimately
soul.
The super soul. So we should never think we are independent and it's, we are doing it ourselves. It's not that. Right? There are always five factors which gives the result. And never be attached to not doing your duty. So that means we cannot say, I'm not going to do my duty. I'm going to just sit quiet. I'm not going to do any action or anything. Lord will take care. That's not, because in Prabhupada very clearly says in the purport that inaction is sinful. So you cannot sit quiet also. You have to do your prescribed duty. That's what we discussed last time. And everybody has prescribed duties. It's not that, you know, based on our the guna and, you know, the this thing, we always have some prescribed duty to do it. For husband, to work, to take care of kids. For wife, you know, to take care of kids and, you know, household work. So it's there is always prescribed duties. Everybody has it. And 48.
Give up proprietorship, sense of.
So we discussed real yoga. What's the meaning of real yoga? Or yoga, what's the definition of yoga?
Equanimity,
connecting to the higher. So two things, right? We discussed two points in the yoga. Prabhupada discusses in that. One is, so real yoga means if you're doing real yoga, there are two things are going to happen. So what's the first thing?
Focus our mind on God. It helps us relieve our false ego.
Krishna centered.
Yoga means do the service but keeping the mind on the God. Focus
on God. Yeah, it's there. So the first thing is it helps you focus your mind on the Supreme Lord, right? And the second, the effect of that, when you do that, automatically your senses comes under control. Right? We discussed, you remember? Two things. One is it will help you focus your mind on the Supreme Lord, and the other thing is it helps you control your senses, because Prabhupada here he writes ever disturbing senses. And he also mentions that this can be done only in or through following the process called Bhakti Yoga or Krishna Consciousness, right? And this is practiced in the process called Krishna Consciousness. Mm-hmm. By Krishna Consciousness only, one can give up the sense of proprietorship. Because we know because we know we are servants, right? We know our the eternal position itself is servitorship, so you'll give up the sense of proprietorship. And what about text 49? What's the
what is the second point about yoga? One is focus your mind in real
and
yoga.
The other one is
control your senses.
If you really follow the yoga, or what's defined here, real yoga, then these two things will happen. Your senses automatically will come under control, and your mind will be fixed on the Supreme Lord.
First point, would you focus your mind on Krishna, on the Supreme Lord?
Yeah. Like that's the whole, right? Our consciousness. We chant, no, when we take the offered prasadam, everything is about our consciousness, changing the consciousness. Basically keeping Krishna in the center, that's how we can focus our mind. We think always, I'm not the doer, I'm not the proprietor, Krishna is the proprietor. So all our activities will revolve around Krishna. So that's
when you
how
think focus on mind means we should not focus on mind basically.
It's not a manual, like focus means it's keep
not
looking
a manual
at Krishna.
Focus, but still even though it's a not manual focus, but still we need not to focus our mind, right? We should focus on the Supreme, that's the reason I'm getting to.
Yeah, the focus means putting Krishna in the center and doing revolving your activities around Krishna. So then automatically your mind, see mind now it says all the time that you are a proprietor. That's what it's driving all of us. He thinks you are the enjoyer. So that one we have to give up. Basically changing the consciousness. And text 49. O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. Why it's called misers?
Those wants
to enjoy the fruits, like
Kripana.
Kripana? Those wants
to enjoy the fruits of the result. They don't know how to spend the opportunity that they have as a human being to engage in Krishna consciousness. Because this is once in a few times opportunity.
Yeah.
So then if you don't use that, then you are not utilizing your asset,
yes,
your body and your...
So main thing is that, so Prabhupada many times he mentions the human life is meant for self-realization. So if you don't use it, then you lose it. Like you are called miser. So miser is the one who has it, but he doesn't use it. He accumulates, keep accumulating, right? We know a lot of, we keep accumulating, but he never use it. And he gives example of, you know, usually the beggars, right? In India, he says, you know, they usually keep a lot of money. They beg, but they will be accumulating. So they never use it. And of course, you know, people who have money also, they have a lot of money, but they use it very miserly. So same thing here. So the human life is meant for self-realization. If you don't use it, then you lost the game. You'll never get back the human life, because human life is very rare. Samahat Sudur Laba, right? Very, very rare.
Addressing Arjuna as Dhananjaya?
Yes. Krishna is addressing him as Dhananjaya. And the Dhananjaya is, what's the meaning of Dhananjaya?
Master.
Or
one voice.
Conqueror.
Yeah.
See, I also forgot. Yeah, we discussed why it's specially called Dhananjaya.
What is the meaning?
He gets
the wealth, right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Conqueror of wealth.
Conqueror, it says in the... So when did he go to conquer the wealth?
When Dharmaraj is doing the yajna, he goes to collect money.
Rajasuya yajna.
Rama did Rajasuya
yajna. Yeah. So when
later on, Yudhishthir did do.
Yeah, he did that, right?
Yudhishthir did do.
Yeah, so the Arjuna is called Dhananjaya because he went to, I think he went all the way to Indraloka, I think, to capture the wealth, because they wanted to perform the yajna and it's very expensive and you need to conquer all the other kings, you have to subdue all other kings. So that's why he's called Dhananjaya, because he went and took, got the wealth to perform the yajna. That's why he's called Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth.
But wasn't that the bad aspect? To subdue other
kings? No, then only they can do that yajna. That yajna, Rajasvi yajna, if you want to do, you have to prove that you are the
supreme lord of all of the,
all the kings. Yeah. Otherwise you cannot do that yajna. And anyway, so he was the king under the Krishna, he was following Krishna's order. So it's good. It's not text 50. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions,
also,
even in this life. Which one?
Just comment on 49. We also talked about the definition of abominable activities.
Hmm.
Activities that take you away from Krishna consciousness.
Hmm. So the transcendentalists use the work. The work can be used, the transcendental use in such a way to liberate, right? But whereas the materialist,
binds him even more.
Same activity, there is no difference, but it can be like a knife, sharp knife. If it's in the hand of a doctor, he uses for surgery, right? But if the same knife goes to the hand of a thief, he can kill. So like that. So same work can be used differently, but you should be trained. And you should have a knowledge how to use it. And what about text 50? A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. So same thing again here, it's emphasizing. We already know the yoga, what's the real meaning of yoga, then how to act. So that should be trained, not everybody can do, you know. We should be trained, that's the importance of Guru Parampara or disciplic succession. So you don't have to do research, it's already done. You know, it's already done research and it's already there. You should just get trained. So spiritual knowledge is not that, you know, you have to go and research for something. It's already there, properly given. You have to just follow it. That's the ascending process, right? We discussed
descending
process. We discussed ascending and descending. So this is the descending. So the mercy flows down. And also we gave the reference of 1866, I think, right? Sarva Sarva Dharma Parityajaya. Amekam Sharanam Raja. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishyami ma sucha. If you don't know what to do, like where in that, right, Krishna promises, you give up all your activities and just surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So that's the Krishna himself is promising. Okay, any questions so far? So I think we stopped at text 50. So we'll go to text 51. Okay, we'll recite together, Sanskrit together.
Karma jam buddhi yukto
phalam tyaktva manishina janma bandha vinirmukta padam gacchanti anamayam karma cham buddhi yuktai phalam tyaktva manishina janma bandha vinirmukta padam gacchanti anamayam.
What is the difference between the, why were two of them in Sanskrit and the other two in English? I mean, that's Sanskrit too, but why was not the entire thing just Sanskrit?
Oh, you mean the text?
Yeah, the text.
Oh, because
it's the same,
actually. It's just because at least I cannot read the Hindi, so I can read the English.
I thought these were different things.
No, it's the same one. I think Prabhupada wrote it for people like me. Because I cannot read the Hindi, I can at least read the English one.
And actually, English translation, that's a little bit easier, simpler. They split the Sanskrit word, Sandhi Vichhed.
Yes, Sandhi Vichhed.
Yeah.
That's how we read it, even in Sanskrit.
See, if there was no translation like this, I wouldn't take on Krishna consciousness. Because I wouldn't understand Bhagavad Gita.
Sanskrit. Okay.
You can start with translation.
By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the result of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries, in bracket, by going back to Godhead.
So this is kind of, you know, it's also called yoga ladder. You know, first we are working for ourselves. So slowly, you know, you realize you do work and don't get attached to the result. Then finally, you get free from the cycle of birth and death. Then finally, you go back to the Vaikuntha planets or spiritual world. So this kind of a progressive path. So that's what, you know, sometimes people call it as yoga ladder. They say it as a yoga ladder, like a ladder, step by step. And here, yeah, especially from with knowledge, we can get free from the material world, then attend to Vaikuntha. That's the whole thing. With knowledge, the great sages.
Can you repeat the yoga ladder again?
No, the yoga ladder is, no, first you work, like we are working, right? Currently we are all start with work, like the karma kind of process, and all. Then slowly you do the karma yoga, the process where you work and you give up the results. Then slowly you attain the different levels of bhakti. You know, there is bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, like that. It's a different stages. Then finally you go back to Vaikuntha planets. But of course we are not discussing the prema bhakti, bhava bhakti, all those things. But it's just a part of yoga ladder, this step, particular step. And also this talks about more detached work, right? And the result is we go back to Godhead. So when you become free from the results, then only you can go back to Godhead. That's how Vaikuntha planets. You can read. Prabhupada discusses in the purport.
Purport. The liberated living entities belong to that place where there are no material miseries. Bhagavatam 10.14.58 says, Samashrita ye pada palavam
mahatpadam punya esho murari pavam buddhir pats padam param padam 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 yet vipadam na tesham. So you would have heard this line, right? Padam padam yet vipadam in device. Read in quote.
I heard from mother, he's saying
padam. Oh, they didn't tell in device? Because
no.
Every step there is a danger.
No.
I thought they quote that particular. They don't quote?
Okay.
Material world, in material world, every step is a danger. Yeah, you can read.
For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of cosmic manifestation and is famous as Mukunda or the giver of Mukti, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's footprint. Param Padam or the place where there are no material miseries, or Vaikuntha,
is his goal, not the place where there is a danger in every step of life.
Yeah, one second. So in this particular, so how do we define Vaikuntha? So Vaikuntha is defined like, you know, the place where there are no miseries. So Kunta is miseries, why is no miseries. So that's where Vaikuntha, the definition of Vaikuntha. And also we discuss this material world or material nature is compared to a ocean. So however expert you are, like, you know, you may be a Olympic the swimmer, the gold medalist, right? Can he swim across the ocean? You cannot. Nobody can swim across the ocean because the ocean is so big. So that's what happens. So when we are on our own, you know, with our own, you know, try to do it independently on our own. So that's where we are. We are in the ocean. We just keep trying. But at some point of time, you will drown. But here, if you take shelter of Mukunda or Krishna, who gives the liberation, then the same material, that big ocean, so vast ocean, it becomes as small as
footprint
of a calf. So is it difficult to cross over the calf, footprint of a calf? How much time, how much effort does it take?
Not much.
Nothing, right? What? It's just, you know, it's so easy. So that's the power of devotional service. Otherwise, we will be stuck. So that's the gist of this particular Srimad Bhagavatam verse. And also, in the last line it says, not the place where there is danger in every step of life. You all agree?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's still safer place? It's Srimad Bhagavatam it's saying, so it's not, you know, not none of us, it's Srimad Bhagavatam. So I think by this time you would have heard so many times, right? Repeating the material. Okay, can continue.
Owing to ignorance, one does not know that this material world is a miserable place where there are dangers at every step. Out of ignorance only, less intelligent persons try to adjust to the situation by productive activities, thinking that the resultant actions will make them happy. They do not know that no kind of material body anywhere within the universe can give life without miseries. The miseries of life, namely birth, death, old age and diseases, are present everywhere within the material world. But one who understands this real constitutional position as the eternal servitor of the Lord and thus knows the position of the personality of Godhead, engages himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord.
One second. So in this Prabhupada is mentioning, so even if you go all the way to, you know, Patala, I think the Patala is the lowest, this thing, all the way to Brahmaloka, still you will have to
take the birth.
So that's what Prabhupada is pointing. Of course, the people who live in the higher planets, the higher you go, they are more, you know, pious. Of course, they have a lot of pious credit they have. So that's why they live in the higher planet. Once they run out of their credit, they again, they fall back to the human, like the material here, the material or earthly planet.
But there was one more point made in Divya's class. The only way to get freedom from the cycle of birth and death was the human life, right?
It's
even
easier.
If you're in Brahmalok, you can't.
No,
without birth, you cannot. Is it right?
Still, you can.
You can even from there.
Yes. So there are a lot of, like, for example, Brahma himself, he lives in the Brahmaloka. So what he does is, when the devastation happens, like everything, you know, I don't know whether the destruction, right? At the end of the, so
Brahman.
So what he does is he moves to the spiritual world. He goes, he never come back. No. So there are chances, or I would put it like there is a chance, so they can go also. It's not that, you know, they have to come back all the time to the earthly planet. It's not. They can go. But it's more easier in here because you don't have, because you suffer, automatically it's easy, right? You feel a pinch, you know, it's easy to
remember
and work. But there, you, because you have a lot of, you know, enjoyment, luxury, as well. So it's very difficult to focus on the spiritual topics because you always enjoy.
I was trying to recall what we were told was, as a devata, probably can't, what you were saying.
Yeah, there are people, yeah. Like for example, rishis and all. The higher the planet we go, there are rishis. Like, you know, there is Janar Loka.
Mm-hmm.
those planets, they're just below the Brahmaloka, they're all rishis. So the rishis, they will never come back here. They are just in the general loka because they have done a lot of pious activity or the practice of yoga. So what they do is, when the devastation happens, so they keep moving and they go back to the Vaikuntha planets. So they... Yes, you can...
Consequently, he becomes qualified to enter into the Vaikuntha planets, where there is neither material, miserable life nor influence of time and death. To know one's constitutional position, means to know also the sublime position of the Lord. One who wrongly thinks that the living entity's position and the Lord's position are on the same level is to be understood to be the darkness, to be in darkness, and therefore unable to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord.
So this point we discussed many times. So this is, you know, we try to put Lord on the same level as us. We think the Lord is just like a regular human being, like as Mayavadis, right? Many times they say the Lord is just a one more, he just has more powers than us, that's all. Mm-hmm. He is also like just like us, human being, just that he has more extra powers. But he has a body like human body, like a material body. So that's a very offensive mentality, so to have that one. So that's what Prabhupada here is saying. He's saying is to be understood to be in the darkness and therefore unable to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. Okay.
He becomes a Lord himself and thus paves the way for the repetition of birth and death. But one who, understanding this, his position is to serve, transfers himself to the service of the Lord, at once becomes eligible for Vaikuntha Loka. Service for the cause of the Lord is called Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, or in plain words, devotional service to the Lord.
See, Prabhupada only, no? These are synonyms. So sometimes he used Buddhi Yoga, sometimes he said Karma Yoga, and for simplicity he is saying devotional service to the Lord.
Is Karma Yoga and Buddhi Yoga are
the same? Yeah. Prabhupada is saying here. He is called Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, or in plain English he is saying devotional service. They are same. It's not Karma Kanda process, right? It's not Karma Kanda, it's Karma Yoga. So you're doing yoga still, the Karma Yoga. You're giving the detached from the results. That's the... Right, any questions on this? It's pretty straightforward, right? Very Prabhupada has very clearly defined all the points. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Text 52.
Yadati moha kalilam buddhir vanyur shastim tadavantasi nirvedam sotavasya shrutasya cha. Yadati moha kalilam buddhir vanyur shastim
When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard.
So what does, so here it says intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Okay, let's read the purport to understand.
There are many good examples in the lives of the great devotees of the Lord, of those who became indifferent to the rituals of Vedas simply by devotional service to the Lord. When a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, he naturally becomes completely indifferent to the rituals of fruitive activities, even though an experienced Brahmana.
Yeah, one second. So this is, yeah, so now we can get the context. So what Prabhupada is saying here, so the dense forest, is comparing it to the Vedas, the Karma Kanda sections of the Vedas, right? And we know it's 90 some percent of the Vedas is full of Karma Kanda section. So that's where it is comparing to the dense forest. And it's very difficult if you are get stuck in a dense forest. It's not easy to come out. So that's what, when you understand your relationship with Krishna and you don't need to perform those rituals. That's what Prabhupada is saying. You don't need to perform all those rituals which is mentioned in Karmakanda process. When you really understand who is Krishna and what's your relationship with Krishna, you don't need to do.
What was the Karmakanda process?
Karmakanda section in Veda.
What was it meant for?
So basically the way, so we have so many different varieties of people, right? Like, so to cater to all the different varieties of people and to bring them, so gradually uplift them towards spirituality, that's why the Vedas, mainly the Karmakanda section of Vedas is given. Because not everybody will take up the devotional service directly, right?
So it's like a stepwise process.
Yes, it's like a ladder. It's like a ladder. So the example is, the Prabhupada says the example of like a diamond shop. You have a diamond shop. So how many people go directly, go to diamond shop, right? The percentage of people who visit diamond shop, it's very rare compared to very few people who has, you know, rich or where very few people go. So same thing, that pure devotional service, not everybody will take. Only the few, you know, very fortunate, who has a lot of pious credit, they take, or through the mercy, if they have got mercy through some devotee, they only take the spiritual path. Otherwise, they have to go through the, there should be some process to uplift them, otherwise they will be stuck in this material nature. So that's why the Karmakanda section is given. So they do, like for example in India, right, most of us we do for some puja or something. Generally we do some puja, for because you do something at least, instead of not doing anything, slowly, gradually you get elevated.
But here it's asking to go beyond that process.
Yes, that's why Prabhupada here is saying you have to go beyond that. And that's a pure devotion set. That's a Buddhi Yoga or, you know, Karma Yoga process. You have to go beyond that. Don't follow the ritual, because he's comparing it to a dense forest. So once you get into it, you will get lost. It's not easy to get out of the dense forest.
What is that rituals of fruitive activities? The rituals are made for fruitive activities?
Yeah, like for example, why do we do Lakshmi Puja at home?
Yeah,
that's a fruitive activity.
Rituals are expecting something.
Yes. So if you expect something, if you do some puja, the common thing is Lakshmi Puja. People put lot of money into worship, so they get more Lakshmi. They are worshipping without Vishnu. Lakshmi will come, maybe, you know, for few people Lakshmi will come, but she is so chanchal, she, you know, she takes that, whatever you put that money, she takes that also and go away.
So we shouldn't do, so typically Lakshmi Puja is done on Diwali, right? Ganesh, Lakshmi, both, not just Lakshmi.
At least I have seen South India Lakshmi Puja, they do specifically for Lakshmi. I don't see Ganesh. I don't know.
You're talking about for Lakshmi Puja.
For the
north, for, yeah, up north for the Diwali, they do
the Lakshmi
Puja. Ganesh.
Together. They do together. And of course, we pray to Ganapati to give the remove obstacles.
Right.
Right? They do remove obstacles. And.
Should we not do Lakshmi?
I would say not.
No, but, I mean, what is the?
Yeah, so the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, so the Bhagavad. You have to. No, I would. I wouldn't suggest you to immediately stop if you are doing something like that. I wouldn't say, you know, to give up and completely. I would, you know, let you understand the knowledge first. You understand the knowledge, then automatically you can make the decision.
Yeah.
But the Bhagavad Gita, yes, it's saying you go beyond
example,
it.
For example, let's say if I will give you raw fruit, food, vegetable, and I will give you halwa puri, what do you like to eat? Definitely halwa puri, because you like more. But a kid don't know. That's a different story. But
that's
as a kid, kid don't know. Kid will see, okay, this raw vegetable is also potato, raw potato. You will try to eat it. Like we are doing worship, we are worshipping Ganesh Lakshmi. We are trying to eat that raw potato instead of boiled potato. Kind of like choice, higher taste.
So I would say, you know, once you get the concepts and understand things, then you can make decision on your own, actually. Yeah. It's more safer. If I say something and if you stop, then it's not good. Like, you know, it can be. Yeah, it's just same. But yes, the Bhagavad Gita says we have to go beyond that.
But what the Lord is saying is that you actually automatically see, become indifferent to those things. Once you start doing it, you automatically. So it's not like I have to stop doing like after due course of time.
You will only realize. Yeah.
You will realize that it's no, you, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, you do it or not.
Our perception so far was that's also a devotion, right? Because our perception so far was that's also a devotion, right? It wasn't meant to get money. I don't think everybody does it to get money. No, no, it's not that. It's part of a ritual, you can. Yes, yes, or it's festivity, is that? Yes, yes, it's just a, no, that's why we are generally brought up. Yes, so generally we are brought up like that in, you know, in our culture we don't differentiate things. Yeah. We say everything is same, right? But that's not the reality is that's why of course we are trying to read Bhagavad Gita to understand our reality.
It's more knowledge.
Yeah, and the other point is we have discussed this many times. So usually the tree, we all the devatas, you know, all the devatas we are considered. So if there is a tree, all the devas are different devatas are considered as the trunks and the leaves. And the Vishnu, who is all the devatas comes out, or the Vishnu is the main, so he is considered as a root. So, does it make sense to water each leaf and trunk, or does it make sense to water the root? So that's what, you know, Krishna, we worship Krishna or Vishnu, and we don't have to worry about other stuff. So automatically it will be taken care of. Yeah,
that's. I can also say this.
Yeah,
any
sure.
Puja we do, right? It automatically goes to Krishna. That's why the, all the mantras are structured.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's
so, even without knowing, you are actually doing that too.
Yeah.
So
basically, the Vishnu is the one, even for devatas to give any benediction, he has to grant permission. So they cannot give whatever they want. So it has to be granted by Vishnu. Right? So then even if you do Lakshmi Puja, it's not that Lakshmi will give whatever, you know, how much ever you want. But it should be granted by Vishnu. Then only you can get. So in one sense, whatever worship you do, there is the... It will go to the Vishnu only, actually. Anything you do is the one who gets the offering. Yeah, that's also.
But actually, intent matters, right?
The consciousness matters.
It matters a lot. Because it is changing your positive output to negative.
Yeah.
Because you are worshipping it, whether indirectly to Krishna, but you are asking directly material benefit.
Yeah. No, of course, that's why Prabhupada says, you know, it's that's in ignorance. We don't have knowledge. Once you have the right knowledge, then you know, I can directly do instead of, you know, doing all. If you know a president, the Indian or US president, you don't have to go through all his subordinates to go to him, right? You don't have to go through his secretary, You can directly approach him and talk to him like that. So you don't have to go through the process. Yeah, that's. Okay.
There is a lot of criticism of the Vedas throughout, like, I mean, this chapter.
What's the reason? Yeah, why
like
is it that?
43, men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words
yes,
of the Vedas,
discuss, yeah.
Which recommend various routine activities for elevation of heavenly planets, result in good birth, blah, blah, blah. So text 42 to 43
clearly
states kind of what is Lord Krishna's stance on the Vedas, right? So, I mean, that kind of gives you a good context on what exactly.
So why
because
does
it's very ritualistic, that's why it's criticized.
It's not criticized, it's just that the knowledge is trying to give the proper understanding.
Right. So it's, it says people in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. So if you look at that, read 42 to 43.
So why is that, why would you say Krishna is criticizing the Vedas, Karmakanda section? Why, what's the main reason behind it? Why is he pointing like that? What happened?
Your taste level. Like,
yeah, it's kind of the way the society evolved at that point. Religion has taken kind of a backseat, and the Vedas had actually become.
Forget about society. Just take yourself in your life. How does it apply? Why does it make sense? Krishna is criticizing. Are you going to get any benefit by understanding that? That.
If Krishna says, "Will believe
me." We are taking elevator path. By skipping all these things.
No, maybe I'm not putting it in the, because it's so wide context. Yeah. So what I wanted to tell is, as we discussed, we are misers. Already we are misers. Our human life is very short. So once you take into any karmakanda the process, you will lose time, and the time is very short. So Krishna doesn't want you to spend a lot of time in those rituals. Because you end up, following Vedas, at some point you will reach the spiritual, this thing. It's not that, you know, following the Veda, because Vedas is given by Krishna. It's not that it's not different from the knowledge. Krishna only established the Vedas, right? We discussed that verse. Veda is sarve ram evet. He is the knower of Veda. He is the one who gave Vedas. Because why is, in the sense you say criticize, but it's not really criticize, it's the knowledge he's telling. Because we don't have time. If you end up in doing it, then you will lose the opportunity. And Krishna doesn't want, as a father, right? He's all the father of every living entity. As a father, he wants your best, right? To do best. He doesn't want you to, you know, just playing around, wasting time. He wants you to immediately get up and, you know, go back to Godhead in this life. Because next life, you don't know whether you are going to take the human birth. So that's
the essence. I'll ask with a small example. So
yeah.
Every day I say my prayers,
yeah.
So it involves a few tasks. I will wash the utensils,
yeah.
The lamp,
yeah, that's good.
Lamp, etc. Then
yeah.
I will light up the lamp, then
yeah.
I will say my prayers, say some chants. So it's a series of
that's good.
Few things,
yeah.
Right? So washing, lighting up, putting oil, the wick,
that's
etc.
Good.
Everything.
Yeah.
So would that relate? I mean, I'm trying to draw a simile between the ritual here and these three, four steps. Does this suggest get rid of that and just sit down and pray?
No, I wouldn't say no. Because anyway, if you want to worship Krishna, right? So you do the same thing. You have to offer giving. That's a recommended process.
Okay.
So you should do.
So
yeah,
what
you should
kind
not.
Of rituals should be? Yajna?
Yeah, so for us, in this Kali Yuga, I don't know how much time you have, but especially people are so busy.
Yeah.
Right? Generally people are busy, I'm pretty sure. So we don't have time. So that's why this Kali Yuga, the only recommended process is the chanting of the holy name.
But lighting up the lamp.
You can do still.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. Necessary, the most essential thing in Kali Yuga is chanting the holy name. So that's why we emphasize so much on chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yes, you can do this. The extra things, yes, you can do. There is nothing, it's not.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to identify. Lighting up the lamp, washing the utensils, are these extra things or these are part of
it? Prabhuji, the question is, once you are doing those activities, what are you expecting something out of it? Like, I mean, that's the difference. Like, if you're doing it purely for devotion for the Lord, over that maybe a new.
Yeah, you can.
No, that's not my question. I'm not expecting something in return of those activities. No, I'm saying that.
Whether to continue
our
those.
Has been, and I mean, this is how we've grown up, learned,
yeah.
Like,
that's
how you pray, right?
That's
no, that you
so
should do it, yeah. I would
so
say you should continue.
Okay, not just sit and chant.
No, but I would, for me, like for example, for me, after few years of in devotional service, if it comes to a time where I have to chant and I have to do the puja,
mm-hmm.
If I have to balance out, I would give preference to the chanting. I would chant.
Okay.
Because that's the most recommended and easiest way. Because at some point your mind should come under control, and the mind can come only under control the effective I'm talking about the most effective one, which Prabhupada or Acharyas have given the disciplic succession, is the chanting. That's the most effective way in this Kali Yuga. As you said, in Dwapar Yuga and all, mostly it was about the performance, the deity worship. So at that time, yes, they used to spend a lot of time in the temple, puja, the worship, all these things, they used to spend more time. But in Kali Yuga, as we said, the time is very short, and we have, you know, we are, it's like, you know, so much of, so many things all the time, you know, it's like rivers flowing into the ocean, our minds, there are so many thoughts coming. It's very, very difficult to do any worship, like, you know, like sit and do worship and all. And you can do it, but the you may not get the full effect of it.
The crux is to do the chanting, but if you have a little bit of time,
yes,
like
I would
that,
say, yeah, I would
create that environment.
Yes, I would say, yeah, I would put it that way. First preference will go to chanting, and if you still have time, yes, you do it. It but there's nothing wrong in doing it.
Mm-hmm. For this, I just want to add one point. I don't know if it is correct or not. Like there are nine ways as given, like Shravanam, Kirtanam,
Vishnu,
yes. Dasyam. So doing puja and all comes into the other category of these nine of one of these nine.
Yes, that's
among
true.
These nine, chanting is given, so that is easy. So we are following it as
that's
per Prabhupada says.
That's
but you can break the coconut. You can offer food to the Lord. This and all comes in other.
That's also part of devotion.
Yes, that's also part of. See, in temple, right? We do that. What are we can not? We do that.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
that.
Typically how it's done.
Yeah.
So it's inclusive or it's not?
It's inclusive, but at some point, yes. First, you can start, like, you know, as you said, Shravanam Kirtanam. So it starts in that
very little time, just chant if you have.
Yes. If you have time, you do, you know, very elaborate the worship. But after doing the chanting. Anyway, you will come to know more about that one. Yeah. But don't stop or anything. It's not recommended to stop. Okay.
Sri Madhavendra Puri, a great devotee and Acharya in the line of the devotees says, you want me to read that or go to the English?
I go to English.
Oh, my prayers three times a day, all glory to you. Oh, bathing, I offer my obeisance unto you. Oh, demigods, oh, forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer you my respects. Now wherever I sit, I can remember the great descendant of Yadava dynasty, Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, and thereby I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me.
Yeah, so here Madhavendra Puri is a very, very exalted devotee, and he is in the disciplic succession. And so he himself is saying, because we cannot fulfill, we did discuss, like we whole lot of, we are indebted to, you know, forefathers, the nature, everybody. It's not, we are not alone. So it's not possible in this one lifetime to fulfill or, you know, to repay everybody. Right? So that's why Madhavendra Puri himself is saying, I will just, you know, I can just remember or just chant the holy name. That's all I will do. Because just by doing that, everything else will get fulfilled. Because he is saying, you know, he is just saying praying three times a day, or he is saying bathing, he is saying, oh demigods, he is saying, oh forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer. Because he doesn't have time. If he does all this, he will not have time to chant the holy name. That's why he is saying, please forgive me all that, I will not be able to do, but I will just try to remember the Lord. That's sufficient for me. And Arivilas Prabhu, once he gave a very wonderful example. You know, we think, right? Like for example, he was telling, I'm going to India, I will plan to go to India. So what he think is, it's all me. I booked the ticket, I packed the baggage, you know, I'm going to go to the airport. But we don't know, to just make that one, you know, that action, going, booking the tickets, going to India, there are thousands of people involved in doing that action. It's not just you. We think always, you know, it's me, I book the ticket, I'm going. So he was telling, first of all, you take a car, you drive the car, and the car is made by thousands of people, like in a factory, it's made somewhere. So already you're using something which is already, you know, made by thousands of people. Then you go to airport. In the airport, there will be 50,000 or 20,000 employees working for the airport to work. So so those people are helping you to check in the bag, to check in the ticket, or, you know, go through security. Then after that, you get into the flight. And you are selling flight is made by Boeing. And Boeing has 40,000-50,000 employees to working to make one flight. So you're taking help of that people. So that's why, so we will be never be able to repay all those people. Like here, what it's, I'm trying to relate. So we'll be never be able to repay all of them. Otherwise you have to go and thank each one, right? You will never be able to do that. Instead of that, you
we
do
just
the...
thank Swami and Swami and before you go, give them a check.
There are much more brilliant people working
Boeing. They are in Boeing, they are the one on the designing side. So, we are safe so far.
We are safe. Come on, so far.
Keep doing nice work.
Keep flying Airbus.
So the same thing, we are coming back to the same point as Madhavendra Puri is selling here. So we don't have a lot of time, we cannot be able to fulfill the debt to the lot of, you know, all the forefathers. So just try to remember the Lord. If you do that, then you don't have to worry about anything.
141 crore, 6 kinds of debts.
Yes.
Demigods, sages, general living entities,
yes,
family members, humankind and forefathers.
Yeah, see, it's a broad category. We are indebted to
141.
First chapter, 41st verse.
Page number is 108.
So it says, anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligation to the demigods.
58 purport last.
You got it?
Yeah. Okay. Purport last paragraph.
Obligation to demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Very nice, very sweet.
There was one other question as well.
Huh?
Question also, right?
Okay, let's go to the next paragraph.
The Vedic rites and rituals are imperative for neophytes, comprehending all kinds of prayer 3 times a day, taking bath early in the morning, offering respects to the forefathers, etc. But when one is fully Krishna consciousness and is engaged in transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regulative principles because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices to as recommended in revealed scriptures. And similarly, if one has not understood the purpose of Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engage in rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagements. Person in Krishna consciousness transcend the limit of Sabda Brahma or the range of Vedas and Upanishad.
A little bit stronger, but that's the reality, right? If one has not understood the purpose of the Vedas, is to reach Krishna and simply engages in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagements.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty...
Here
it's a reality.
Oh, my prayers 3 times a day, all glory to you. Oh, bathing, I offer my wishes.
Yeah, basically, you know, there is this rituals, right? People do a lot of these things. That's why he's... But of course, you should take bath. It doesn't mean, you know, you start...
Bath is not obligatory.
Itri.
Bathing in holy water, bathing with that, right?
Yes, still we should take early, not any time. We should take bath early in the morning.
But we can opt that cold water bath.
But I think the point here, though, is when in terms of the rituals, if you're just mechanically doing it, you know, you might as well not do it.
Yes.
If you're, doing like it, if you're mechanically chanting.
Yeah.
Same thing. Right? If you do it with sincerity.
Yes.
So mechanically chanting, I think initially it has to be mechanically chanting, right? If we wait for bhakti to
it's
come
a starting
like
point.
That, I cannot
chant. It's a starting point, of course. Even now, I would say many rounds I do say mechanically. I wouldn't say I will not do. I still do mechanically. But it's better.
But yeah, it's for bhakti we are doing.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And as Prabhu said, he put the sincerity. So that should be there.
Yeah, sincerity.
Yeah. So if it's there, then that's the point. Even if you chant mechanically, Krishna will help you.
Otherwise, make that chicken and egg problem. Bhakti came first or chanting came first.
we cannot control what the thoughts coming and anything.
It's impossible.
Prabhu is building new example. Not to
actually, Krishna only says that like, the mind is more difficult to control than a raging
wind. Fires can be controlled. Wind can't.
So it's very difficult. Can we control the raging wind? It's impossible. The recent the tornado or something came, right? I think it came second time. It killed some people first time. Yeah, it came recently also. It killed many people. It's not possible. How will you control the raging wind? I think I saw a picture or something, you know, it car, everything just flips, trucks and all. There's no stoppage actually to. So what about the mind? And we cannot even see the mind. It's so subtle. Intelligence mind you cannot see. It's very subtle. But it can cause a walk. If you don't control it, it becomes. What happens to the mind? If you don't control the mind, what does it become? It becomes
slave to the senses.
Mind.
Mind
starts serving senses.
So mind becomes your worst enemy. But if you control it, it becomes your
best
friend. That's how it is. If you don't control, you go crazy. Actually, Prabhupada says, you know, you see a lot of mad people, right? Lot of mad people, right? You generally you see. So those people are, you know, beyond, they have done so much of, you know, sense gratification, all those things. Basically they have engaged in so much of sense gratification, their mind, it's blown away. Like, you know, they cannot control their mind. That's how they become, it's an extent. They have reached that extent, then they usually become crazy or mad. That's mind can cause like make like that person.
Angela Proof was giving one example, I think a few days back or maybe a week back. The couple, there was old couple, they lived 30 years together, and one day the husband asked his wife, we should die, and do you want to come with me? We will suicide together. So then his wife rejected. Then he thought very, I don't know, depressed or something, that how come my wife is denying me? And he just killed her.
And did he kill himself?
No.
Oh, he did
not arrested and something.
He did that.
He attempted but he failed.
See, so poor, no?
So means mind can do whatever you are living together.
I kind of struggle to separate mind from the soul. And so there is the concept of heart. I mean, there is mind and there is soul. So how does, whenever you're saying, you know, your mind gets, you know, it's like a raging wind. Isn't that saying your soul is like a raging wind? Like, is it?
No, because we have so far we understood, right? Soul is.
The soul is eternal. Soul.
What's the quality of the soul? Yeah. What's the qualities of the soul?
Sachidananda.
So Sach is.
Existence.
Sach is eternal. Chit,
knowledge,
and ananda. So we know. Let's make some assumptions here. So far, I don't think any of us we have realized that we are a soul. We have to be frank. It's a reality. I would say.
We used to call like my soul. Even though we are considering we are body and soul is mine.
So it takes lot of.
When I'm saying something, like I'm sitting in a class. So what is the soul sitting in the class? And the mind is making the mouth speak.
Soul
what
is
the soul doing, right?
Soul is, you are, especially see, that's why you are a soul.
Your
body
intelligence
is
soul, you can consider.
The body is just a dress. Whatever we have, this material body, is just a dress. Actually, we are a spirit soul.
Right. So, I get all that from the thing, but I'm confused between the mind and the soul. And because what am I doing? The mind is doing, the soul is. Isn't the soul also doing it? Like when
no, soul as a mind, right? That's why soul as a mind.
Hmm.
Like if you don't have a mind, what happens? You become crazy. Basically, you will become crazy, right? If mind is not controlled, you become crazy. But anyway, so, okay, let's put it this way. So, we are not realized we are the body.
Yeah,
we are not realized that we are not this body. It takes a quite bit of time. So right now I would say, you know, at least I act on most of the time on the bodily platform. The only thing I do is I try to dovetail my propensity in Krishna consciousness. So hoping one day I will be purified and I will, you know, go back to Godhead. Otherwise it's impossible to, unless we are
but
sincere.
When you're chanting and stuff, your mind is making you chant, your body chant, and that is actually helping the soul.
Yeah,
you're
of course.
To God. So it's in a way that whenever mind and the soul are connected, like,
yeah, yeah, mind. That's why you are a soul, you have an intelligence, you have a mind, you have a senses. So these are tools.
The soul,
like, you know, you have
existence and awareness.
So even if I think I am a body, let's forget about soul and all, I am a material body, I have a mind, right? Of course, I cannot prove to you that I have a mind, right? It's sublime, right? I have a mind. If I don't have a mind, then means I am a crazy person.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can define or how you can show the mind. Intelligence, I cannot show you. Spirit, soul, I cannot show you. Those are all more sublime. Because we see or we understand only the gross things now. Because we are on material platform. We can only, you know, feel only the objects, which is not material. We cannot feel. But there is something called mind, yeah, there is something called intelligence, everything, but we will understand. Once we purify, slowly, yes, you can realize. As a soul, if you want to realize, you know, you are a soul. So how do we know we are a soul? Because we always anchor for
happiness.
Always pleasure, right? We always keep seeking happiness, right? And always knowledge, we want to know stuff, you know, we want to always keep learning. And always, we want to live eternally. Nobody wants to die, right? We always want to stay. So those are the main features or characteristics of the spirit soul. So that's the only way you can understand that you are a spirit soul. At least this level of our understanding, whatever little bit of understanding we have, that's the only way you can relate or you can make out that you are a spirit soul. Otherwise, there is no other...
And that is common.
Convincing factor. Yeah,
it's
that's
like
common. Yeah, you won't find somebody who is not seeking happiness. You won't say, you know, this guy doesn't want happiness, he wants distress. You will not never find anybody like that.
But I think they are very tightly coupled, but even though at the same time they are separate, that's the reason I think we cannot make out the difference very quickly.
No, because we are so. Yeah, because
or
we are so much of in the, on the bodily platform now. That's why we will not be able to differentiate that easily. Soul and the body, mind, intelligence. It's not so easy to... Because we think we are part and parcel. Like, you know, we're always package.
Yeah.
That's the...
When we say mind, we say the thoughts. Is it the thoughts, right?
Yeah, mind keeps all the... So what mind does is, so whenever I see something. So for example, I'm all seeing all of you. So mind takes the snapshots of each thing. Whenever I see something, so it captures snapshots and it stores in the mind. So his mind is a storage for all your thoughts. So that's how mind. But you cannot see. It's better than computer memory, right? At least there is some physical.
And mind has an archive position. It will archive. Okay.
There is no limit for that. It has so much memory. It keeps anything. And not just this life. You have snapshots from the previous lives. So that's why most of the time you get dreams and all, right? So where does the dream comes? I get sometimes, you know, so scary dreams. Sometimes, you know, somebody is trying to attack me. You know, like that. I don't know whether you all get, but for me, I get a lot of, you know, bad dreams. That means it's there. It's not that, you know, it's just something, what do you say? No, like something which doesn't have reference or something. No, it doesn't. It's not like that. Yeah, it's not like that. So it's there in the mind. So those snapshots, it will just come in a dream, because that's the only time it can come out. Because in physically, if you are there, right, daytime, we won't, because we are occupied with so many things. So that's the time we are inactive. You are, you know, but mind is active. It keeps ascending.
But then can you see the mind manifest the soul's personality? Because you actually said the soul is the personality in itself. And then
your soul,
Duryodhana is the soul. And yeah, so that's the personality. And Duryodhana is not going to change. That soul is going to be Duryodhana.
No, it's always, yeah. You always have identity.
Right.
It's always you are a soul. You always remain whatever you are in the spiritual world. You always remain. Your never identity never changes. You are Rajesh, you will always be Rajesh only.
Yeah, but so, like if there's a difference between a good soul and a bad soul, so would a bad soul turn into a good soul over the period of life, cycle of life, death and birth?
No.
How would that soul ever go back to bad?
So that's why, so soul is always good if you are, if you're talking about the soul platform.
Yeah.
So soul is always Satchidananda. It's always pure. So only when you come in contact with the material nature, then you acquire the, you know, all this mind, all you acquire all this false ego, everything. Then you become stubborn, or you become a lord. You want to lord over the material nature, or you want to become lord. But as a pure spirit soul, you are always pure. As a spirit soul, you are always pure. It's just a covering. You have a covering.
Right, but even for the souls that come to the material world, there are differences in the nature, right? Like you said, identity of Rajesh would always be...
Yes. Like free will, yeah, based on
so
the free will, yeah.
Supposing we imagine another identity, which is a little convoluted and not really does good actions, that is coming out of the soul, or is it just a manifestation?
It's a false ego, yeah.
But
so
the soul inside is still very pure.
Oh, of course. Soul is pure. It's just that you have a different covering. So you need to peel off the covering. So many people have a thick covering. Some people have, you know, just a little bit covering. So I think Prabhupada gives example of, you know, the rainwater. No, it's pure. Rainwater, right? It's very pure. Rainwater is very pure. But when it comes in contact with the mud, it becomes muddy. So that's how our consciousness. So we are pure, but we wanted to lord over. So the false ego comes, right? The free will. So in this one, the free will, false ego, everything comes into picture. So when you want to enjoy, automatically you become envy. So then, as we discussing, so you come in contact with the material nature. So then, based on how much enjoyment you want to, you know, how much enjoy you want to do enjoyment, then you will get the body accordingly. So then, from then on, your body drives whatever you have, you know, the free, how much ever you exercise your free will, right?
It'll be
that
the
kind
process
of body.
Of realization through from the time you actually have these feelings to the time when you actually become evolved enough to know that these are only materialistic things.
Yes.
Your ultimate home is
yes.
That.
So that's a self-realization. So that's why it's called self-realization. So we already have it. We have to just realize what we have, what we are. So it's not self-discovery, right? We are not discovering something. You have it in, because you are a soul, you have to just realize that you are a spirit soul. And that comes through the process. And the process, how you realize this, the material nature will make you realize that you are a spirit soul. No, by strict, whatever rules, right? Laws of nature. It will push you to so much, and one day, you know, you start thinking, why am I suffering? That's a question, right? Why a lot of people ask. What's the topic, Rose?
Why good things happen,
why
to
good
bad
things happen
people
to,
why bad,
no, why
bad
things,
things
happen to good
people.
So that's a thought comes. Every mind, it comes, right? Every, at least I have thought many times, right? So those kind of, you know, that comes from the soul level. Because you are thinking as a spirit soul, you are thinking, why am I suffering so much in this material world? I should be happy. But I am, you know, struggling one side, then you want to be happy. So you, those are all inquisitiveness. So the people who take up devotional service, right? There are 3 or 4 categories, I cannot recall now. But you become inquisitive. You start asking questions. Why, you know, why is it happening to me? Is there something beyond this? Right? You start inquiring. Then slowly, you know, sometimes the mercy of a devotee can bring you to devotional service. Somebody will see, like, you know, Harivilas Prabhu or somebody, you know, they, when you come to temple, I'm pretty sure he doesn't talk to all 100 people, right? He cannot talk. Maybe somebody, you know, comes, he talks to somebody. Those people are very fortunate, because he is pure, he can give the mercy to those kind of whoever he meets, he can give the mercy. So the Lord, you know, it acts through the devotees also, the mercy flows through the devotees. And the other way people will come to devotional service is through the laws of nature. It will make you so, like, you push you, suppresses you so much, you start thinking like that.
Like
so different ways.
Suffering, then you realize and remember God more.
So that's why last time you were telling, you know, the more time you make, the God will also make time for you. If you don't make time, the God will also tell, you know, I don't have time for you at the end of whenever you, you know, reach. We finish this one, right? 52 is fine, yeah. So we'll stop at text 52. Yeah, it's 8:30, so we'll stop here.